It is good to see everybody here this morning. And I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. And I am excited about a happy, happy new year. We've got a lot of plans for this next year. We've got a lot of things scheduled, a lot of things that are going to be going on around here. And I believe that every one of them is orchestrated of God, and that we're going to have a great, great year at Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the end of next week, we'll be able to tell you what we're doing, at what time we're doing it, and about how many people should be involved next year at this time. So we've got a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things planned, and we're excited about it. But Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 22nd verse. It felt good last night coming home. I always take the I-10 down to 14 and head north through Martin Luther King Boulevard, because I get to go over that big bridge. And when I go over that big bridge, it's like, I'm home. Here we are. I'm back in the promised land. Amen. It says Ephesians 4 and 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Everybody say put off. In other words, take it off. Get rid of it. Put it down. Get it out of your life. There are certain things that can be taken away. There are certain things that, you know, that they might be somebody else's fault. They might be somebody else's doing. They might be somebody else's responsibility. But there are a lot of things in our own lives that are our responsibility. They're in our lives because we pick them up and we allow them to be in our lives. And so as Paul writes here, he says, put off, set down, leave it, get rid of it, get it out of your life. The former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That word corrupt, when we think of someone that is corrupt, you can look at somebody and say, well, you know, I wouldn't leave my wallet around them, but you don't call them corrupt. You might look at them and say, you know, I wouldn't leave them with a key to my house, but you wouldn't call that word corrupt is a word that you use for somebody or something that is got lots of issues and lots of problems. And so he's talking about the old man, the man that we used to be, the person that we used to be. That's who he's talking about, this corrupt, evil, messed up person that is clothed and everybody thinks is all right because we put it all together. He says, according to their deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off. He goes on, therefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Him that used to be bad, that means that we've got to change. I'm so tired of people saying, well, oh, you can't judge me, only God can judge me. Well, that's fine. I'd rather be judged by you than by him. That should scare you. That should terrify you. That terrifies me. With humans, you can trick them. You can make them believe something that's not. You can pay them off. With God, he knows every thought, every word, every action. He knows every deceitful thing that is wrong with us. He knows everything. And so we've got to change. I can't just keep doing what I'm doing and say, oh, well, he loves me. No, he requires of me to change. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Oh. Grieve not. To think about that I hurt Jesus is sad. That I deliberately grieve him. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto this day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Here we go again. Put away. This is the third time it's mentioned. From you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This morning I'm going to preach for just a little while about leaving it behind. Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us this morning, O God, that you would anoint my lips of clay, that you would help me, O God, that I would be sensitive to your spirit and your voice, that you would speak to us today, O God. Lord, that we enter into 2016, O God, understanding that I can't take everything that I am now with me, but there are some things that I need to leave right here in this place today. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. We find ourselves within 5 days or so of 2016. For me, this year has flown. It just seems like yesterday that it was 2015. I've just gotten used to writing it on my checks, and now I've got to add a 6 onto the end instead of the 5. And it's something that now we're looking into a new year, that old things are passed away. Out with the old and in with the new. There's going to be pictures on Facebook of all kinds of quotes of a new year and a clean slate, of pictures of storks bringing a baby that has wrapped on it is 2016, that it's brand new, it's fresh, it's something that hasn't been scarred or marred, it's something that has a clean slate. We're going to take our white pieces of paper and we're going to sit down with them and we're going to write out our goals and our plans and our New Year's resolutions, because it's fruit, it is fresh and it's clean and it's a new year. It's a clean start. It's a new beginning. It's a time that we can come together and that we can understand that it's a new day, that it's a beginning, it's a new start, it's a new time, it's a new place. But there are some things that need to stay in 2016. I had a friend tell me the other day, he said on midnight on January the 31st, he says, I'm staying up until 12 o'clock. I said, man, you're going to usher in the new year. He says, no, I'm going to make sure the old year is gone. He says, I'm so tired of 2015. He says, I'm ready for something else. I was reading yesterday about things that were big in 2015 that surprised the consumers. One of them was coloring books for adults. This past year, coloring books for adults has topped the charts of things that have been bought. And we're not talking about Mickey Mouse and Sesame Street stuff. We're talking about some serious stuff that you can color and designs and all of this other stuff. One thing that I'm having trouble even talking about it because I'm still trying to figure it out myself, but not aquariums, but a terrarium. It's the new thing, 2015, a terrarium. If you're not in the cool kids class, you don't have one. The people are taking coffee pots and turning them into not an aquarium, but a terrarium.
You don't have fish in it. It's just plants. And they'll take a coffee pot, and your old coffee pot, and they'll put rocks in the bottom of it and a little plant and set it up on it. And now we've got a terrarium. And people are taking entire walls of their house and turning their entire wall not into an aquarium but a terrarium when you come into the living room. And it's a new thing. In 2015, it was all the rave. Everybody, all the cool people were doing it. My little niece got a hoverboard for Christmas on Friday, and everywhere you see, they're catching on fire. I'm just waiting for my brother to call me and let me know he's moving in with us. And just all the craze, just everybody's got to have it. Everybody wants. There's some things that might just need to stay in 2015. Yesterday, we were making our drive back, and our little tradition, I don't know if it's our tradition, it's my tradition, is once we get to Baytown, you got to stop at Bucky's. And I don't know if you've been to Bucky's, but it's the will of the Lord that you stop at Bucky's. Walk in, take $30, lay it on the cash register, tell them that you'll be back with stuff, and you hope that that will cover it, and just begin to mill around, because it is a special place. So we always stop there. We've got 2 hours left on the trip. It's kind of a nice place to break it out and let the kids run. And we set Jace in the basket and give him toys to eat on. And then we put them back and some other kid gets them afterwards. But we mill around and have a good time. So last night we come out of Bucky's, and my minivan's been parked at the gas pump for about 45 minutes. And so I'm one of those guys. And that's why they have 100 of them is what I figure. And so I walk up to the car, and I've got the key, and I'm hitting the unlock button, and nothing happens. And I said, oh, Jesus, this is all I need. 10 o'clock at night, 2 hours from home, and the car is dead. And I hit the unlock button again, and it's got those doors that open and close when you hit the button. So I'm opening, closing doors. I'm hitting lock buttons. I'm hitting the panic buttons, and nothing's happening. And it's just dead. And I said, oh, Jesus. You see, the problem was, is there was a minivan, a gas pump behind me that had the horn blowing, or doors opening and closing and things happening, and everything was going on. But the minivan that I was looking at was dead, and it died, and that it was, nothing was going on. It didn't matter how bad I wanted that door to open, it was not going to open. It didn't matter what kind of mind forces, mind tricks I used. That door was not going to open. That was just the way that it was going to be. That door was staying closed. And finally, my wife taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around. I've got van doors going back and forth, lights blinking, horns honking, and the same exact minivan. It was just wasn't the one connected to my key. Then. You can wish that this next year is going to be the greatest year that you've ever experienced. You can sit here right before 2016 with anticipation that this year is going to be different. This year is going to be great. This year is going to be the best year that I've ever experienced in my life. You can sit there with all the anticipation that you have, but believing that that's going to happen. I was, the other day I ran into a man, and he just didn't seem real happy. And I always, my wife says that I just have to talk to everybody. And so we're sitting there talking, and I asked him, I said, well, how's your day been? Where have you been? What's been going on today? And he looked at me, well, I'm leaving, just left the casino. And I said, oh, I always find people at the casino. I want to find out if they won money, because I know a good place if they need to donate. We got a good, you know. And so I asked him, I said, did you win anything? He said, no. He said, I couldn't even play. He said, I had to go pay my bills. He was already in deficit. He was already in the negative. He was already running in the red. That they wouldn't even, he had to go pay his bills. He didn't have any money to gamble. He had to go pay what was in the red. You see, the problem is that we're going to walk into 2016. Believing that it's going to be the greatest day of our life. We're believing and we got all of these hopes and dreams. But the problem is you don't start over on zero if you bring all of your junk with you. I want to start, you look at Jacob. Jacob was at Laban's house for 20 years. 14 years he worked for both of his wives. 6 years he worked for his flocks. Every time that God would begin to bless, Laban would change his wages 10 times. He'd tell him, well, you get one with a patch on the left eye. And all of a sudden, all the sheep would have a patch on the left eye. And God would begin to bless Jacob. And Jacob, the only time you read where Jacob would even pray is when things were bad. God, I'm in trouble. I need your help. God, things are bad. I need your help. His house was a mess. His wives hated each other. And then they got him to marry their servants. And they all hated each other. And just read chapter 31 in Genesis just a little bit. It's depressing. And I was driving down the road yesterday. I like to listen to the Bible. And I was listening to it on the automated where they got actors and all of this. I had to turn it off. And she said, he said, and she said, and she said, and then she said, and then she said, and I was like, I don't even know who's talking anymore. They've all said something now, and they hated everybody, and that was his life, and he's raising these kids that are a mess. He's raising these kids that have all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues, and you read about their lives and the things that they did and the lives that they created. All of those kids were born in Laban's house. And finally, he gets to the place where he's ready for a clean start. Finally, he gets to the place where he's ready for something new. I'm ready to leave this place where I am. I'm ready to leave where I'm at. And I'm ready to step into a new world. I'm ready to step into what it is that God has for my life. I'm ready to step into something that is different than what I've been experiencing. I'm ready to step into something that has... I've lived this life. I've tried it for 20 years. I thought that this would make me happy. But you're going to be a slave to something or somebody. Oh, I'm not going to submit to God. I'm my own man. Oh, you're going to submit to something. Jacob ran. He did whatever he wanted to do. Here he is, and he finds himself. He's literally a slave to Laban. Whatever Laban told him to do, that's what he was going to do. Wherever Laban told him to be, that's where he was going to be. That was Joseph. And finally, Joseph gets to a place where he's praying, and it's not God, bless me. God, fix this. God, change this. God, help me. God, all of a sudden, there's something inside of Jacob that's saying, I want to be where I'm supposed to be. I want to get out of this place. 20 years of walking in circles, 20 years of going through the same stuff, 20 years of battling all of the same junk. I've got to get out of this place. And that's when God began to speak to him and say, hey, if you leave, I will be with you. Get back to your daddy's house. Get back to where you're supposed to be. See, you've got to get to a place in your own spirit that you're saying, why isn't God speaking to me about things tomorrow? Why isn't God giving me dreams of my future and dreams of tomorrow? Because you're not ready for them. You're still wrapped up in wanting to be right where you are. The moment that something inside begins to say, I'm ready to get out of this place, God says, I've been waiting a long time. You know what? You step out in faith and you can rest assured, I'll be right with you. I'll take you to that place. I'll lead you and guide you. I will take care of you. And so here he is, clean slate, we're gone. And what does his family do? They pack up all the gods they can get their hands on and shove them in their traveling bags. You see, you've got to understand, in order to have a clean slate, you've got to leave everything behind. Well, I'm stepping into 2016, it's a new year. But you're stepping into 2016 with the same bitterness that you had in 2015. You're not stepping into a clean slate, you're stepping into a deficit. I'm leaving 2015. I'm stepping into 2016 with a clean slate. Everything. You're not stepping into 2016 with a clean. If you've still got sin and bitterness and lust and perversion and relationships that you shouldn't be in, things in your life that shouldn't be a part of your life, because all you've done is you've just stepped into 2016 with a deficit. That's why Paul keeps writing, you've got to put off the old man. You've got to lay it down. You've got to get it out of your life. You've got to set it aside. You've got to make sure that it is out of your life. Colossians 3 and 8, he says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. You can't, there are some things in the old, but the old man does not need to meet 2016. The old man does not need to have anything to do with 2016. There's got to be some made up minds to say, you know what? 2016 is going to be the same or worse if I don't get some junk out of my life. If I want a clean slate, it's going to be because I've left some bitterness. I've left some unforgiveness. I've left some sin. I've left some perversion and pornography and nastiness. I've left some junk in my past, and I'm stepping into my future. Romans 13 and 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in the chamber and in wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He keeps saying, I got to take it off. I got to put it down. I got to get it away from me. I got to let it go. What is he saying? He's saying, there's things I've got to take off. And there's some things that I've got to put on. I've got to put on Christ. I've got to put on Him. I've got to change. If you want 2016 to be the greatest year of your life, you can't walk into it with deficits in your life. You can't walk into it with a bunch of junk and a bunch of baggage and a bunch of stuff. You've got to make up your mind. There's some things that are staying here. You say, oh, well, what about this situation? They're going to be with me. They're going to, they're always with me. They're family, this, that, all these things that are going on. You've got to begin to make up your mind. How is this going to affect me? They might still be there. Somebody was talking to me the other day, and it's a family situation. We all have to deal with the same situation, and they were talking about how selfish this person was, and I told them, I said, are they going to change? He said, no, they're not going to change. I said, then you've got to figure out a way to live with it. You've just got to figure out a way for you to become at peace with it in your own life, because if not, you're going to be miserable forever with it. There's just some things they're not going to change. You can pray and scream and holler, and if it's dealing with a person and they don't want to change, and there's sometimes I've got to get at peace with it. And when God gets ready to do what God's going to do with this situation, then it's going to happen. But I can't allow all of this junk and hate and anger and frustration and everything that is wrong with this situation. I can't take it into 2016, because it's going to make my 2016 feel just like 2015. I've got to find a way. God, you've got to help me come to peace with this situation, because I can't drag all of this junk, hate, malice, frustration, and unforgiveness into 2016. There's some things that 2016 does not need to meet in the old man. It's got to stay where it is. If I'm going to have a clean slate, it's got to stay exactly where it is, and I've got to step into 2016 without a deficit. Sunday we were driving from one family to their, not Sunday, Christmas. We pulled into Ballinger, Texas. We got about a four and a half hour drive. When you're traveling at Christmas out in the middle of nowhere, you find a gas station that's open, you better take advantage of it. And so we pull into Ballinger, and it's not the gas station we usually use, and it's a little hole in the wall, and we pull in, and there's cars out front, and man, there's a happening little place. And I open the door, and it's like smoke just runs out and punches me in the face. And I'm like, whoa. So I walk in, and they got a little gaming center in the back, and and they don't have walls or anything. It's just about 15 people gathered around a bunch of computers sitting in the back corner, and they're all gaming and just smoking, and it's Christmas. And I just walked up and stood there for a minute and leaned up against the counter and just looked at the situation. It was one of the saddest, most pitiful situations I've ever seen. These people with nowhere to be, nowhere to be with, nobody that they care to be with, or that nobody cared to be with them. Run down, broken looking folks sitting around on Christmas in a nasty convenience store out in the middle of nowhere, playing on these little computers hoping to win some money. And when I see situations like that, I always say to myself, self, how many bad decisions did they have to make to get there? How many New Year's did they show up to and say, you know what? I'm taking all of my baggage with me. I'm taking all of my addictions. I'm taking all of my hate. I'm taking all of my stuff. I'm taking all of my problems. I'm taking all of my weaknesses. I'm taking all of my perversion. I'm just going to take it all with me into the next year. You see, you've got to understand there are some things that you've just got to make up your mind that I've got to get them out of my life. There's a famous realtor in London, Lindsay Clegg, I believe is his name, and he was selling this big piece of property. It was kind of a warehouse, and it had been empty for a long time, and the windows were busted out of it. Everything was tore up. It was a mess. And so he's showing it to a man, and, you know, I'm sure Brother Vanover, you know, he can, well, you know, we can get this fixed, you know, well, we can talk to him about this over here. And here he is. He's trying to justify all of the stuff that's broken and busted and cracks, and, you know, we can do this and that. And finally, the guy just told him and said, I'm not interested in this piece of in this building. He said, I'm interested in the property. He said, I don't want any repairs done to this place because I'm not interested in just touching it up. He says, I want to build something new. I had a young man look at another elder, and he was sitting there, and he began to talk about God fixing and changing and working on his life. This young man had a call of God on his life. This young man was anointed and powerful. And as he sat there, that young man looked at him, and he kicked his head back, and he said, I'm not looking to be broke down and rebuilt. He said, I'm just looking for a little bit of polish. We come to church, and I just want a little bit of polish. Clean me up and fix me up for 2016 and polish me up and set me on my way. I don't need any help. I don't need anything. I'm good. I've got this all figured out, God. Just polish me up, make me feel good. Make me look good because I've got it all figured out. He just divorced his second wife and he has three kids between the two of them. But he just needed a little bit of polish. You see, I've got to understand, I don't need a little bit of polish. I need a complete overhaul. I don't need just a little bit of fix me up here and a little armor all there. I need God to go to the very depths of who we are and say, you need to fix this. You need to change this. You need to work on this. You need to pull this out. You need to put this in. You need to take that off. You need to put this on. You need to get that out of your life. You need to put this in your life. You got to do something different. You've got to change. I can't go into 2016 saying, oh, it's going to be the greatest year of my life if I'm dragging everything with me. It's going to be the greatest year of my life. It's a clean slate. If you've got bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, it is not a clean slate. You're already in a pit trying to dig yourself out. I've got a clean slate. It's perfect. Everything's going to be good. If you've still got perversion and junk on your cell phone and in your home, you do not have a clean slate. You're already in a deficit. If you're saying this year is going to be better, my marriage is going to be fixed, but you've got things going on and situations and things that you've got to understand. There are some things that have got to stay in 2015. There are some attitudes. There are some sin. There are some frustrations and unforgiveness and bitterness, things that they just can't have anything to do with your tomorrows. Because if you allow them to stay a part of your life, you're not walking into a clean slate. You're walking into another mess. When the Japanese attacked the Philippines thought that they would attack from a certain direction. They were fortified. They were ready. They never thought they would come through some of the wooded areas and make their way across the islands that way. But the Japanese knew that they were expecting them to come, and they came through the woods anyhow, and they attacked and overran the Philippines with just a short amount of time. They didn't believe that you could survive in these jungles, I don't know exactly the word they call it. The man that was writing the book, as he talked about that, everyone felt like they were so thick and they were practically uninhabitable. And one of these soldiers escaped as they were killing everyone, and he escaped into the woods, and he wrote a book later, and in this book he wrote a statement. As people asked him how he survived in the woods, he said, "You know, the woods are neutral." He said, "The woods never take sides." He said, "You have everything you need to survive in the woods, or you have everything you need to die in the woods." He said, "The woods is not the problem. The problem is us. What are you going to do in the woods?" Life, we like to say that it is not fair. The truth of the matter is life is neutral. You have everything in your life to either prosper, or you have everything in your life to either make it the worst life that it could possibly be. The question is what are you going to do with life? What are the decisions that you are going to make this next year? Some people, they just keep making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and they find themselves sitting on a Christmas at a gaming center in Ballinger, Texas, in the backwoods of nowhere, in a smoke-filled room, sitting there playing the casino little deal. They're not going to win any money. There's got to be somewhere that you begin to say, I've got to begin to start putting good decisions on top of good decisions. That a bad decision after a bad decision after a bad decision after a bad decision is going to lead you down the wrong road to the wrong place. Somewhere along the way, you've got to begin to start making good decisions. Decisions that say my 2016 is going to be better than my 2015 because of the decisions that I'm making right now, that there are things that I'm going to leave in my past. There are things that I'm going to leave in 2015 because I'm going to begin to add good decisions upon good decisions on my life in 2016. Matthew 22:11 says, "And when the king came to see the guest, and he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend," friend. You know, that's the problem. We can feel like we're okay with God because we can feel his presence. We can come to church and we can feel the anointing. We can sing what we sing today, and we can get to a place that we can have tears run down our face. And because we feel like we're okay with him, that we must be okay in our relationship with him. This man looks at him and says, "Friend, how comest thou not hither not having on wedding garment?" And he was speechless. That's the thing about God. when that day comes and he asks, there's not going to be an excuse in the world that's going to be able to explain why I did what I did. I'm not going to be able to blame it on my raising. I'm not going to be able to blame it on the people that hurt me. I'm not going to be able to blame it on the people that have wounded me. I'm not going to be able to blame it on this, if I'd have married that person or this person, or if that decision would have been different, or if I'd have got that job or this job. I will stand there speechless because he will know everything. Then said the king unto the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. What is this story about? This story is about a man that refused to change. I can go into 2016 wearing the exact same thing that I've been wearing, and God said, no, you don't understand. There's some things that you've got to get off of you. Oh, he'll accept me just the way that I am. Oh, I can do whatever I want. No, you've got to understand that he didn't accept anybody that didn't show up with a wedding garment. A wedding garment, when you go to a wedding, you don't go rolling the mud beforehand. You get up and you clean and you make sure that everything's right and you're doing everything you can that it looks its best, because I've got to constantly begin, all right, God, here I am. Do I have anything that I got to get rid of this year? Is there anything? Am I dragging a deficit into 2016? Or am I starting this year with a clean slate? As the musicians come, as we all stand this morning, there are people in this room that 2016 will be the greatest year of your life, but it's not going to be the greatest year of your life by accident. It's going to be the greatest year of your life because you've decided that I'm going to start it with a clean slate. You've decided that I'm going to step into 2016 with I'm leaving some things in my past. There's some things that I've dragged into every year. It's like a piece of baggage. It's something heavy. It's just something that you've just drugged through every year. And this year, God's saying there's some things that we just need to leave where it is. God, what is it that you want me to put on? What is it that you want me to change into? What is it that you want me to be? How do you want me to think, oh God? How do you want me to talk? How do you want me to love? How do you want me to react to the people around me, oh God, that have problems? How do you want me to act to the people around me that cause me pain and constantly hurt me? How do you, God, help me to put on you and leave the old man behind. You've got everything you need to either prosper or fall flat on your face this next year. The woods are neutral. 2016 is neutral. It might be a few more bumps. There might not be. It might be more mountaintops. Whatever it is, but you've got to make up your mind. I get to decide what happens. I get to decide how I take it. I get to decide how it affects me. I get to decide the attitude that I bring into it. I get to decide some of the struggles that happen. I'm going to leave this behind. And I'm going to step into 2016 with a clean slate. So we all gather around the front this morning. I want everybody to come to the front. I believe that 2016 for our church is going to be awesome. I believe that God's going to do some great things this year. I believe that 2016 is going to be a great year for the people of this church.
a year of growth, a year of prosperity, a year of blessing. But you've got to understand that there are things that you can't take into 2016. There are things that have to stay with the old man. Why would Paul keep bringing it up? Why would Paul keep talking about it? Why is he so concerned about taking off, leaving behind, putting it aside? Because you have to do it. I can't be saved by just showing up any old way that I want. I can't be blessed by just showing up any old way that I want. I can't have the blessings of God by just showing up any old way that I want. Jacob finally made up his mind, I'm leaving, but he didn't realize he was taking a bunch of junk with him. Somewhere along the way, you've got to stop. You've got to build an altar, and you've got to have a prayer meeting and say, you know what, God, I'm not taking any of this stuff with me. I'm not taking any of my old gods. I'm not taking any of my old stuff. I'm not taking any of my old habits. I'm not taking, I might struggle with it. It might pop its ugly head up in 2016, but I'm making up my mind that I'm going forward with a clean slate in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, you see everybody in this room. These are good people. These are people that love you. But God, we all have fallen short of your glory. Somehow, some way, the old man sneaks back into our lives. We begin to act like the old man. We begin to smell like the old man. We begin to talk like the old man. We begin to look at things the old man used to look at. We begin to act in ways and react in ways that the old man used to do. And we've just got to take time in our lives at an altar and say, God, I'm leaving the old man behind. I'm putting on the new man. I'm putting away the darkness and I'm putting on armor of light. I'm putting away the darkness and I'm putting on the things of Jesus Christ in my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. As they begin to sing this morning, God, there's some things that I'm going to leave at this altar today, God. This Thursday night, we're having communion. We're going to come in here. We're going to talk to God. We're going to make sure, you know what, God? I'm starting this year off right. God, forgive me. Forgive me of every thought. Forgive me of every word. Forgive me of every action. Forgive me of every sinful desire. Forgive me of all of my faults. Forgive me of all of my weaknesses. Forgive me for being angry. Forgive me for being bitter. Forgive me of my unforgiveness. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who's trespassed against me. God, I'm leaving some things here today, Jesus. I'm making up my mind that these things aren't going to follow me into 2016. I'm not going into 2016 with a deficit, but I'm going into it with a clean slate. I'm not stepping into a new year dragging along all of the junk. But I'm making up my mind that there's some things that just have to stay in yesterday. Start making good decisions. I got to start putting one good decision on top of another good decision. I've got to put another good decision on top of that good decision. I've got to make another right decision and add to that decision. I can't keep making bad decisions expecting something awesome to come out of it. I've
going to be the greatest year of my life spiritually. This is going to be a year of growth. It's going to be a year of blessing. It's going to be a year of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's up to me. Make up my mind. I'm entering into this new year with a clean slate. In Jesus' name. Something else, even though that I knew you, even though that I could find you and had a problem, but this year I'm moving out, I'm moving forward, I'm going to where you want me to be. I'm going to be the man or woman that you've called me to be. I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to show them Jesus. I'm going to have revival in my life. It's a new year. It's a clean slate. If you want it to be, you got to want it. You got to make up your mind. You know what? I'm not entering into this year with a deficit. I'm leaving some things behind. Oh, but you have a right to be bitter. You know what? You might. But you can't get forgiven until you forgive them. So you got to make up your mind. God, I forgive them because I'm not entering into this new year in a deficit. You might have struggled with the same addictions forever, but you know what? It doesn't make it right. I got to enter into this new year without a deficit. Your family might have struggled with this for a year. You might be fourth generation. Whatever you struggle with, it doesn't matter. When you were baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ and you were filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got a new lineage and a new bloodline. It doesn't have to be that way. For your family's sake, leave it behind. Step into a new year with a clean slate. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We got a lot going on around here. We're going to have a great year. First Sunday of the month, we're going to be talking about my God. We're making things personal. He's not your God like you own him. My God. It's personal. Paul says all throughout the New Testament, my God, my God, my God, because it became his God. It can't be anybody else's. We're going to talk about our relationship with him. It's got to be personal. It's got to be our relationship with him. We're going to talk about my family. We're going to talk about my church. We're going to talk about my ministry. We're going to talk about my city. And that's what we're covering over the first month of January. We're talking about making this personal to us. Not waiting on somebody else to do it. Not waiting on somebody else to get excited. Not waiting. But you know what? This is mine. This is mine. I got to take ownership of it. I got to take ownership of my relationship with Jesus. I've got to take ownership of what's going on in my church, in my church. I've got to take ownership of the things that are happening in my family. I've got to take ownership of the ministry that God has placed on my life. And I've got to take ownership of being a witness into my community. And we're going to be challenging each other to take ownership and to step out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. We're still in holiday mode. I got my holiday tie on. Look at that. That's party right there. Woo! Having fun. Having a good time. Thursday night, we're going to meet here. We're going to pray. We're going to do communion. I can't think of a better time to do communion than to say, you know what, I want to step into 2016 with a clean slate. We're going to do communion Thursday night. And after we get done being spiritual,
Good Lord, there's going to be a whole lot of gluttony going on. We're going to be over there struggling, seeing how much we can eat. If you could please help Thursday morning, we got a lot of work going on around here. Brother Statham, Brother John are going to be over there working hard. Sister Statham, we need some potato peelers. And I appreciate that so very much. Love y'all. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. No church Wednesday night. It'll be Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll see you Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week and a happy new year.